Well, let's get our Bibles out, please. Let's get our Bibles out. And we've been kind of working on discipleship, and I assume that because most of you came back, that you want to be disciples. And for our visitors here that might not know we're working on discipleship, welcome to Discipleship Training 101. And we'll see if you come back next week. But we talk about in Scripture, it says that we, let's have a little review for our folks who are visiting for the first time. We say when we come in and we accept Jesus Christ for the first time in our lives, we are what? Babes in the Lord. That's not an insult, that's just the way that it is. How many of you were at least a babe in the Lord at least once in your life? Right? We come at the bottom, right? We don't come in at the top, we come in at the bottom. And then as we grow, we move up into the middle range, and we call that what?
Youth.
We come into the middle. And then we continue to grow in the Lord. We move up to the final tier of our spirituality. And that's called what? Maturity, right? Maturity. And that's just the way that it is. And I want you to know that maturity is not measured by chronological age. Or I would be real mature by now. How many be real mature by now too? Pastor Ed, I'm so glad you raised your hand, right? But a person 70 could come in what tier? Down the bottom, right? It's spirituality. Well, I didn't mean you, Mary. Are you 70? I didn't know that.
A little more.
We come at the bottom, and God wants us to what? Grow. He wants us to grow. And a lot of people get stuck down the bottom. Jesus loves me, this I know. They get stuck down the bottom. And God wants us to what? Mature. He needs men and women of spiritual maturity. That's what we need. And Satan wants us where? Stuck down the bottom. He wants us down in the bottom. And God wants us at the top. And that process of going from the bottom to the top is called what? Discipleship. That's what that's called. Growing in the Lord. And when we planted this church, we had said that we would never gauge the growth of the church by how many people were sitting in the chairs. How many remember that? We said that, right? We said, Yoshiko, we said, we won't gauge it by how many people are here. We said we would gauge it by how many people are growing in here. That's what we said. Growth of the church starts where? In here. That's where it starts. And so we've been going over the last couple of weeks about discipleship, and I've been telling you that a disciple means a what? A learner. And we told you that discipleship means a follower. And we told you a disciple means an imitator. A learner, a follower, and an imitator of whom? Jesus. That's the deal. Not the pastor, of Jesus. And I told you that the definition of a discipleship also includes things that you would be able to show the world that you're growing. One of those is bearing fruit. I said that, bearing fruit. And I told you how much fruit would you bear? Much. Much fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, where are you on the tier of spirituality? Down the bottom. Now, it's not a bad place to be. That's a good starting point. But if you're not bearing fruit, where are you? You're down the bottom. And our job as a church is to get you where? At the top. Now, what kind of fruit would you bear? I told you, long-suffering, joy, peace, kindness, love, patience, all those things you would be able to bear when you're at the top. When you're down the bottom, you have a hard time with that because your eye is on the storm. And when you mature, your eye is on the Lord. Everybody see the difference with that? A person comes in on the bottom of the rung, right? Here's all my trials. Here's all my tribulations. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm really stressed out. And it's fine to be that way. But what happens when you get to mature, your eyes are off of the circumstances and on who? The Lord. So your eyes are no longer on the problem. They're on the solution. And that's the process of bearing fruit. I told you that a disciple loves the brethren. And I came up with this really great word, which is what, Yoshiko?
Sisterin.
The sisterin, which is different than a cistern. You don't want to be a cistern, right? Not a cistern, a sisterin. And you love the brothers and you love the sisters. And I told you, who's our brother?
Everybody.
Who's our sister?
Everybody.
How about those you don't like?
Everybody.
You see, a babe in the Lord loves those who love them. Sissy just went now to go pick up her grandbabies. I'm going to love them when they come in the door. They can pee all over my new suit, and I love them anyhow. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference, right? Thursday morning on my way to McKeesport, Desiree needed me to watch baby Jane for a minute. I got there about 6:30, and I picked him up, and I had on my stuff, right? And he slobbered all over my shirt, and he spit this stuff out. I don't even know what it was. It smelled really bad all on my shirt. But I still loved him. I still love him. Right? And so we are to love not only those who love us, but we are to love who? Yeah. And if I ask you this question, how many of you can think of a person right now in the front of your mind, you're saying to yourself, boy, but you don't know this person. How many's got a person like that in your mind right now going, oh, but if you don't know this person, guess what? That's the person you should love the most. I know it's hard. Karen said this. How many know it is hard? But what is easier, being nailed to a tree? How many know that's harder? That's hard. Dragging your cross and being kicked and bit and whipped and beat, spit upon, whipped, put a crown of thorns on your head, nailed to a tree, that seems a lot harder than loving that guy or woman, right? So we're called to do not the easy things as disciples, we are called to do the what? The impossible things. For all things are what? Possible through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And I told you that. But I also told you now as we continue to go through this that we have to pick up our cross and we got to take it with us daily. I told you that. And a cross, I have my little cross on now. And I asked you, what's the purpose of a cross? And I gave you some options. One, to wear around your neck. Two, to decorate an altar. Or three, crucify things. What's the purpose of a cross? Crucify things. Now, how many of you got some stuff you got to put to death every day, right? Our anger, our sarcasm. Probably nobody in this room has sarcasm issues, but now that was sarcastic. Did you see that? Huh? Did you catch that, Yoshigo? That was sarcastic, right? Sarcasm. Come on, Karen. That was sarcasm, anger, bitterness, resent, bigotry, racism. We got to put that stuff to death. How much? Daily, right? Pick it up. And I started last week and I told you, okay, now we get rewards for being a disciple. And the first reward I told you about last week was God as our Father. And I told you what were the rewards of that. I told you that we have what? Gifts that come down from the Father of light. And I told you last week that some of the gifts that we have are the things we take for granted. And I went through this big litany about 57 years ago. I'm glad she wasn't here. I did it again. Let me change that. 40 years ago. Maybe 39 years ago, I'm not sure, I get my math mixed up. You know, God created a little girl in her mother's womb, right? And then he gave her to me. He said, this is for you. What are you going to call her? I said, I'm going to call her my wife. And he gives us those things. How many got something like that in your life? A child, a grandchild, a friend, a brother, a sister, a spouse. Oh, praise the Lord. And so he gives us things, right? Every good thing comes down from the Father above. I told you that he gives us comfort. I told you that he gives us joy. And I told you he chastises us. Now, you don't think that's good, but that is good. Because many of us would not be in the situation we're in today if we were not chastised by somebody who loved us. That brings me to the day. But there's responsibilities. You got some responsibilities for having God as your Father. As I have responsibilities of having Sissy as my wife, and I have responsibilities of having four children, one who resides in heaven, of course, and I have responsibilities of having six grandbabies, you got responsibilities too. Now turn in your Bibles. And I believe we're going to start with 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 11.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, strengthen, establish, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We talked a little bit about this last week, brothers and sisters, about submission. And submission is something that's really difficult for a lot of us to do. And I am one of those strong-willed kids. You probably didn't know that about me, but I'm kind of strong-willed. How many are strong-willed in this room? Strong-willed kids. I mean, strong-willed. Man, you know, you wrote the book on how to do everything in life. And anybody tries to instruct you, the only reason they can't instruct you is because they read your book. I mean, that's how some of us... It's true, Yoshiko. It's true. Why is it true? The only way they can instruct you is they must have read your book. That's the only way they can teach you because they read your book. And there are those of us that are very strong-willed. They are. And even with the total opportunity to be submissive, That's first of all, it's foreign to some of our personalities and our temperaments. And even when we adopt it, it's difficult for us to follow anybody. Who has a difficult time following anybody? I mean, I can be a great leader. Cliff, great leader. Follower, not so keen on the following part. I'm getting better at it. But if we are going to be a disciple, we must submit to God and we must follow Him. And there's a reason for that. And there are two areas that you need to submit. Submit to His Word, which you all have a copy of that. Submit to His Word. And the second thing we need to submit to is His providential work in our lives. He wants to work in our lives. How many know that? That's what He wants to do. He wants to work in our lives. That's what He wants to do. Now, God does not come down, nor does He send angels to build a wheelchair ramp on someone's house. I have never, not one time, walked by anybody's house and seen Archangel Michael building a wheelchair ramp. Never seen it. I have never seen Jesus Christ in all of His glory building a deck on somebody's house. I've never seen it. He uses who? Us. That's who He uses. He uses us. Now, I'm going to tell you a story as quickly as I can. I go to Teen Challenge, and I told some of you the story before, but I need to tell you again. I go to Teen Challenge usually the second Saturday of every month. And about a year ago, maybe a little longer, I only go once a month. And I got to leave my house in Chippewa, and I got to go to Harmerville. That's about an hour and a half ride. So I start that service at 9 o'clock. So I get there at 8:30. I set up all the sound stuff. I get ready to be able to do the work. I do the worship. I do the preaching. I do this. I do it all, right? I do it all. It was the third Saturday. Not my turn. I got a phone call Friday night. I looked at my caller ID and I went, "No way! No way! This can't be happening!" It was my friend, Brother Lloyd. I went, "No, it can't be." "Hello?" "Pastor Tom, oh no, I can't believe it." "Yeah, Brother Lloyd?" "Oh no, Brother Lloyd, don't tell me. But I have this big list I have to do at my house. Sissy wants me to do all this work. I was looking for the day off. I have no wedding. I have no funeral. I have no nothing. Is it that?" "But okay, I'll go. I didn't really want to go. Help me understand that. My heart was not in the going. I didn't want to go. So I called some folks on the phone, Kirk Galbraith and some other folks. I think I even called Colin. I'm not sure if he was with me that time or not. I called them on the phone and said, "Hey, Lloyd's sick." "Oh, good." I hate that when they do that. Because I feel worse because they're excited about going and I don't want to go. "Oh, good." "Oh, yeah, whatever. We'll meet you up there at 8:30. Hung the phone up. Kirk Galbraith called me back on the phone and said, "Hey, we're going to meet for breakfast." "Oh, no, because that means I got to go an hour earlier now." "We're going to meet for breakfast? Colin, was you there?" "Probably." "You're going to meet for breakfast?" "Yeah." "Oh, whatever." So now I got to leave my house at 5. I don't even leave at 7, leave at 5 to go meet my friends for at McDonald's in Harmerville. Oh, I didn't want to go. I get up in the morning and Sissy say, "What are you doing? You have this big list." "I know, but Lloyd is sick and you know, I got to go to Teen Challenge." "Go, well, the list will be here when you get back." Unbelievable. "The list will be here, Steve, when you get back." So I got in the shower. I had a bad attitude. I know this probably surprises you, but I didn't want to go. I had a little bad attitude. And I got my shower going, whatever. I'm trying to get myself, you know, I'm really trying to get myself motivated to go up to Teen Challenge. And I start talking to myself, "Well, you know, Pastor Tom, at least you're coming back from there. And all those other kids are staying up here. So come on, get your act together. Let's go." And I'm walking past my nightstand and I see a pick sitting on the nightstand. Right? And I carry pick with me. I said, "Well, I better take that. I might need it." I put it in my back pocket. You know, and I Forget about it. I go meet my friends for breakfast, and they pray over me, and I'm getting better. My attitude's turning around, right? I go up to the teen challenge. We're setting up all the sound stuff, and my attitude's getting better. I'm figuring, okay, I'm here now. Come on, Tom, get yourself together. You know, you got a job to do. Get yourself together, right? So I do the worship service, and I do the preaching, and I do the study, and it's the end of the service. And this young person, probably 20-some years old, comes up to me and says, "Oh, man, you are a great guitar player." I said, "Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that." He says, "Wow, no, you really are a good guitar player." I said, well thanks. I appreciate that." He walked away about 10 feet. He comes back to me and says, "Can I ask you for something?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You wouldn't happen to have a guitar pick, would you?" And I went, "Yeah, I do. Why?" He said, "Well, you know we're not allowed to leave here." I said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "Well, you see that old guitar in a corner of it? I looked at it. It had four strings. Two strings are missing." And I said, "Yeah. Yeah, I see it. Why?" He said, "Well, I used to play guitar, and I sure like to play it, but I don't have a pick." And I said, "Well, here. Here's my pick." And I said, "What kind of songs do you play?" He said, "Well, Lord, I like to play some Jesus songs." And I want to play some Jesus songs. And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I took two of my strings off my guitar, and I put them on that guitar. It was an old guitar, and I strung it up, and I tuned it up for him, and I gave it to him. I started walking away. He said, "Hey, you got a couple more minutes?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Can you tell me about Jesus?" "Yeah, I can tell you about Jesus." "Yeah, I can tell you about Jesus, yeah." And he got saved. He got saved. Now, I want to let you all know something right now. The Teen Challenge, Pastor Terry called me on the phone and said, "Hey, you got a spirit guitar pick you can drive an hour and a half over here and give it to this kid?" Guess what I'd have said? No. 25-cent piece of plastic? You want me to drive a total of 3 hours with the gas what it is to give you a 25-cent piece of plastic? But the Lord's got ways of getting you to do what you need to do. Had I not submitted to His will in my life, that kid may not be saved. Had I not submitted to the will of my Father, that kid might not be saved. My question, if you don't submit to the will of your Father, what might not happen in your life too? "Well, Pastor Tom, that makes so much sense because you're the senior pastor. That makes so much sense." Well, you think He only uses me? Really? Is that what you really think? He just uses me? How many know He uses you too? The question is, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to do the things that are uncomfortable to do, or only do the things you're willing to do? You see, if you only do the things you're willing to, you are not submitting to His will. You're submitting to what? Your will. But it tells us in Scripture, because we have God as our Father, you must be willing to submit to His will. When? Now that's another story. You see, I'm so busy. If Jesus the Christ called me on my cell phone and said, "I need you to do something on Monday," I'd have to check my day timer. "Well, when do you need me, Lord?" "Well, Monday at 12. "Nope, no, can do. You see, I'm doing a worship service at 12. Now, how ridiculous is that? I'm doing a worship service for the Lord, and the Lord wants me to go do something for Him. What? How does that make any sense? Right? Well, how about, can you do it Tuesday afternoon? "Nope, can't do it. I got a funeral." "How about Tuesday night?" "Nope, can't do it. I got a Bible study." "How about Wednesday 7? "Nope, can't do it. I'm at Pastor Sandy's house." I call her Pastor Sandy because she's such a great cook. You see, we need to subject and submit ourselves to God's will. When? When He calls. Is something more important than Him? Well, it's easy to say no, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to say no. Oh, now you know there's nothing more important than God. Pastor Tom, you know that. Well, I know that. Do you know that? Hey, what if we had some kind of mission that we had to do, and we had to go help somebody 1 o'clock on a Sunday, like sometime in November? I think there'd be some people say can't make it. Why? Steelers are playing. Now, I know what you're thinking. No way, that would not happen. Oh, really? How many know who they just got rid of in the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who they get? How come you know that? Huh? Huh? Turn your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4, verse 8. So one of the responsibilities that we have, brothers and sisters, because we have God as our Father, is to what? Submit. The second responsibility that we have as God as our Father is we need to do this. James chapter 4, verse 8.
Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Woo! Draw near to God. In a little bit, Sissy's going to be coming in here with Riley and Jonah. Riley and Jonah, they'll be going to be bopping in the store. Now, when they come to visit me or I go to visit them, and in just a little bit, you'll see me do something with Jonah and Riley. What am I going to do to Jonah and Riley, do you think? I'm going to hug them, Mary, right? That's what I'm going to do. Mary, you know, because you're a grandma.
Yes.
I'm going to hug on them. I'm going to do this to them. I say, you get over here, right? Come here, come here. But Jonah might try to get away and run all around the building. But I'm going to get him. I will get him. Because I want him what? To be what? Close to me. That's what I want. And when I go see Jesse's kids, I go in there in their little playroom. I say, hey, line up, line up. Come on, Pappy's here. Line up. Let's go. And when they line up and they sing, they go, oh, hi, Pappy. Oh, hi, Pappy. That's what I want. I want them to what? Draw what? Close. How many understand that? Well, God, our Father, wants the same thing. He wants His kids to what, Karen? Draw close. So He can hug on us. That's what He wants to do. He wants to love on us. That's what He wants to do. And He doesn't want us just to love on Him on a Sunday from 10 to 12. He's not a part-time father. He don't want a part-time kid. He wants a full-time kid. That's what He wants, a full-time kid. Right? He wants us, Glenn, to draw what? Close to Him. That's what He wants. Hey, why do you think He created us? Because He gets some stuff done? I mean, really? I mean, why did He go through the bother of creating us? I mean, why did He do that? It's because, why? He needed something to laugh at, maybe, I don't know. How many know? Some people are pretty funny. Did He create us? Because, why? You know why? Because He wanted us to what? Love Him. He created us to love Him and to worship Him. That's what He created us to do. How are you doing in that department? Now, I know that we are extremely good at asking for stuff. I know that. We got the asking down pretty good. Don't we? Lord, it's me. Can I have? Can I get? Can you heal me? Right? We're just not too good in the giving part. We're good in the asking part. We're just not real keen in the giving part. Now, I'm going to tell you how I know this, because I've been doing this for 30 years now. I'm getting old, Karen. What do you mean you know? You're supposed to say, no, you're not.
Well, I am, and you're
telling
me, so.
And you know, I can't believe you said that. Huh? You believe she said that? Where's my anointing oil? She needs anointed. Oh, Karen, I pray for you. And you know, and the real deal is, in 30 years' time, do you know how many people came to me and said, I need the elders to lay hands on me? Why? Because I just want to praise them. Think it through. I want the church to lay hands on me, Pastor Tom. I'm going to come in there Sunday morning bright and early, and I want everybody to lay hands on me, and I want you to anoint me with oil. And I say, why? What's wrong? And you say, nothing. I just want to thank them. 30 years' time. Guess how many times? Zero. Now, there are people who are thankful, and I'm sure you give thanks to God, but how many times have we just said, it's me, and I don't want anything. I just want to thank you. Does He want that? And so, God wants us to draw near to Him and love Him and adore Him and worship Him and give Him praise and give Him thanksgiving. That's what He wants us to do. Does He want to give us stuff? Sure. Does he want to answer our prayer? Sure. But he also wants the thanksgiving too. You want to know how I know that? Because 10 lepers were healed and only one came back. And Jesus said to him, were there not what? 10 of you, where are the other 9? Does he want that from us? Yes. We're really, really good in the asking, but we ought to be better in the giving. How many just praise him today? Now, how many of you are bold enough in your faith to say this? If you don't do one more thing for me, you've done enough. Amen. Anybody worthy of saying that to him today? You know what, Lord? If you don't bless me one more time, you bless me enough already. You know what, church? He does not bless to you. He blesses through you. Did you know that? He don't bless to you. He blesses through you. You see, having God as our Father comes with some responsibility. We're supposed to submit to His will, submit to His work, submit to His Word. We are to draw close to Him, and we are to go to Acts 8:22.
Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you.
And you know what we're supposed to do? Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Change from our ways. That's our responsibility. See, having God as our Father, we need to understand who He is. And we need to understand that He is God. And that He can give us forgiveness. We need to understand that God is God. And we need to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. That's what we need to do. It's easy to say, God is my Father. But it's not so easy to go to Him and tell Him how you messed up. And that you need to repent. In a little while, we're going to have communion together. And part of that deals with repentance. And I'm going to tell you something right now, church. You cannot appreciate, nobody in this room can appreciate the forgiveness and the grace given by a holy God unless you can convince yourself to understand that you need to understand that you're guilty. You cannot understand the completeness and the grace of a holy God until you can take part in your own sin. You can't appreciate it. When you come up and get communion in a little bit, you can't even begin to fathom the importance of that until you can come to grips with how much of a sinner you are. You can't. You know what? It's just a walk up here and get some bread and some juice. That's all it is. Unless you can come to grips with the enormity of the problem that He forgave you of what? How much of your sin? Can you even begin to fathom that? How much is that? How many of you say it's a lot? Because yeah. Brothers and sisters, it's not just what you did, it's also what you didn't do. It's not only what you did and didn't do, it's what you thought. And it's not only that, it's also what you said. How many got a bushel full just this week alone? Well, times that time is your life. In my case, 40 years worth. Plus one more. That one. God is awesome. He's your Father. And I'll tell you something. In closing this part of the discipleship training with you this morning, He picked you. And I don't know if you'd have picked you, but He picked you. Because God says, you did not choose me. I what? Chose you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much this morning, Lord, that we accept you as our Father in our lives. We thank you so much that you are holy, that you are perfect. You're still on the throne. You're in the miracle business. You're in the blessing business. And Lord, help us to become more submissive to you. Help us, Lord, to submit to your word and to your will. Help us, Lord, to love you more. Help us to draw close to you. And help us to be quick in asking for forgiveness. Father, where we are wrong, rebuke us, teach us your ways. But where we are right, uphold us with righteous arms. And all of God's people said, amen.